Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Truly a can't-miss offer. You bet just $1 on any football game this week, and you get $150 in free bets instantly. You can't beat that deal. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It is quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. We're reviewing Penn State Villanova. And as good as the whole passing game was, Dustin, issues came up with the running game. And we could talk about offensive line, but also how much of this is on the running backs and where we thought, my goodness, we have 3, 4, 5 number one running backs. Now I'm not sure we have one guy who we could say, hey, that's a number one running back.
I mean, it's fair. It's fair to wonder at this point in time what the right combination is. And I think the Penn State coaching staff is also trying to figure out what the best combination of these guys is so far. And I've said it a bunch of times in the past, especially in 2019, when they were in a similar position with 5 running backs and it didn't appear to be a lot of separation from 1 to 2 and on down the depth chart. It's a privilege and it's a responsibility. You know, having a bunch of mouths to feed does give you some options in terms of hot hand and style and mixing in and keeping guys fresh, but it is a whole different layer of the offensive coordinator's plan and his strategy to try to get as many of these guys going as they can. So I don't think you've seen a really coherent strategy in terms of how and when these guys are being deployed. You can look and see, okay, Noah Kane, his formula is he's going to make the most out of the holes in front of him. He's not a game breaker. He's not beating you to the edge for the most part. He does a lot of really good sound work between the tackles, always falls forward. He's a good physical runner. He's averaging 3.4 yards per carry right now because he's seeing a steady diet of opposing defenders either in the backfield or just not a lot of room to operate there. So what's the strategy with that then? It's certainly like, you know, you're not going to not give the ball to Noah Kane, but for my money, I would just like to see Kevon Lee get earlier, more consistent work to try to find some semblance of a rhythm. He's got a certain level of energy and springiness and suddenness, and he's also just a very hungry runner too. But I don't really see a guy right now who's thriving as an afterthought, who's thriving, you know, averaging 5 carries a game. And I think that plays a part in him putting the ball on the turf and maybe not looking as crisp as he wants. He's just not in tune with the game. That's my amateur opinion, just looking at it. I would like to see more Kevon Lee early to try to give him 6 or 8 touches in the first half of the next game and see what he can do with those, give him some more series. Noah Kane is your best closing option without a doubt. I don't have any issue with Noah Kane starting the game either, but I think more a steadier diet of Kevon Lee would help. And I think you're starting to see John Lovett come around as a really good change of pace option, who's a threat out of the backfield as a receiver and who brings a little different style. I think he's a little quicker than both of these guys.
And when you see Kevon Lee, you know, fumble a ball and he goes into the doghouse so quickly because of that, I understand what James Franklin is doing. He's really emphasizing you want to get carries, you want to be on the field, you got to hold on to the ball. I believe a lot of people were looking at Villanova as the opportunity, especially with Noah Kane, you know, with one carry, that this would be the kind of game where you could give it to Kevon Lee over and over again to try to get some rhythm from him.
And that just didn't really happen in this one either. Not a lot of running room. And I thought, you know, the offensive line deserves a good bit of blame and a good bit of criticism for not doing what a lot of people expected them to do. Just as I believe Villanova is pretty stout up front. And you can kind of see why their formula is working at that FCS level. But you just didn't see that happen. And it doesn't look like there's, as I mentioned before, a really good coherent strategy for what they're doing and why they're doing it and when they're doing it when it comes to these running backs. And that's kind of part of all this too. So I think you're going to see that evolve and grow and change. And I don't think you should rule that out. I also think that when you're doing all the things that they're doing in the short passing game, it's not a substitute for the running game, but it is a means to be able to kind of safely move the ball and get the ball in the hands of playmakers without needing much success on the ground. So their formula is doing okay with it so far, but I think these running backs, somebody needs to emerge, and obviously they need to start creating a little bit more room up front. They're getting driven backwards, and not a lot of running backs in the country would do well with that, but especially a guy like Noah Cain, who's just not the most toolsy player. He's a very good running back, but he's not from what I can see doesn't have NFL feet or speed.
All right, Dustin, we always do this. We spend so much time on the offense, so much to talk about. We don't get to the defense. Let's talk about that defense. When the starters or the initial rotation people were in through three quarters, they allowed only 3 points. Can't argue with that. Those late touchdowns came from the backups. But also, just to let you know how much they were rotating people in, here's my other statistic for you from the game. Are you ready, Dusty?
I think I am. I'm never sure, though, with you.
All right. In the box score, to make it to the box score on defense, you have to have made a play, a tackle, an interception, a pass breakup, a quarterback hurry. So to get into the box score, you have to have done something. Care to guess how many Penn State players on defense made it into the box score? Don't look. Don't cheat.
It definitely looks. I mean, I was already looking, but I'm pretty sure there's got to be, what, like 20 plus guys, right?
27 players made it into the box score. So that tells you they did, you know, clear the bench. A lot of people played and showed up with a statistic.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of that happened late, and we all know how it went in the fourth quarter when you know, Penn State's reserves, you know, they just weren't executing on the same level as Villanova was. I think you still saw an athleticism edge from Penn State's backup guys, but, you know, Villanova, they just executed better and were more aware of the game situations and saw things more clearly. It's part of the reason why you try to get these guys on the field to get them experience in the first place. But with the defense as a whole, I mean, it's been the same formula, and I didn't really see any drop in intensity in this one, even though it was an FCS team and all that. What they end up doing is, you know, with their cornerbacks, and I think Castro Fields and Joey Porter Jr. are good enough to continue doing this against some better teams as well. Is, you know, it's not that wide receivers don't get open per se. They don't get open very consistently, and these guys are so tight and so long in coverage that it takes a very crisp and accurate throw. And it just they were the types of throws, especially down the field and to tight spots, that, you know, Villanova's quarterback Daniel Smith just wasn't capable of doing. And I think the formula is it's applicable to most teams on the schedule. How many quarterbacks on Penn State's schedule are going to be able to consistently beat this defense with tight window throws or balls to a spot or deep balls that are precise, able to beat these defenders? And I don't know. I mean, maybe Ohio State. Who else has a quarterback capable of consistently beating these guys in tight windows? There's not many.
No, there aren't. And again, just to show you the level of defense that was played early, you know, through the first three quarters, Villanova totaled 280 yards on the game, and in their last two possessions, they had 169 out of those 280 yards. I think that tells you, you know, the game was always under control through three quarters with your I'm not saying starters, I'm saying the normal rotation, because even at the with the starters, they were rotating quite a bit through those first three quarters, even to the point where the most tackles were credited to Ellis Brooks, and that was only four tackles. Nobody had more than four tackles. That tells you a lot of people didn't play much.
Yeah, and I think, you know, especially in games like this where you can probably be a little bit more aggressive in getting some of these other key guys who need some experience, get them into the game. Keep your starters fresh. This was a good opportunity for that throughout, even before garbage time, as you mentioned. But just being aggressive in how they're rotating guys in there, and it creates this machinery with your defense where somebody's always ready to take the next step. You know, there will be at some point in time an injury or something like that that takes a starter out of a game, a targeting call or whatever. You need to be able to groom guys along the way with pockets of snaps to be able to not be so wide-eyed when they do get in there and when their number is called or when their role grows. And so I think it's imperative with over the course of a game from minute one to minute 60 to try to keep guys fresh into the fourth quarter, especially as we get into Big Ten play here. But also just in terms of the program too, you know, getting rotating guys in there allows you to more seamlessly replace guys, whether that's from graduation, early exit to the NFL, or an injury or something.
And we also saw some of those guys who were out the first couple games. I'm thinking about Johnny Dixon, Keaton Ellis. We saw both of them while, you know, early in the game, in the first half. And it was nice to see that also, Dusty.
Nice to see them play, and I think nice to see them play at a pretty high level in this one. Keaton Ellis, you know, with his, like, he made his presence felt, and he looked like a guy who's super athletic, who's got some coverage skills, who can move well, who has the aggression and the aggressive nature to play the safety position. And his handful of snaps, or however many he did play, I noticed them probably three or four times. And I think the same thing was true of Johnny Dixon too, where, you know, everything was about Kalen King coming out of the spring and even through the summer. Kalen King was a big name. Johnny Dixon disappeared a little bit, and now he's back. And I think his experience playing in the SEC can really be an asset moving forward. And I think both of these guys, but especially Johnny Dixon, is just because the rotation is this way right now doesn't mean that's how it's going to continue down the road. I'll be curious to see as they get into some of these Big Ten games if Johnny Dixon's role is going to grow on a more permanent basis.
That would be interesting. I'm even more curious about seeing Keaton Ellis's role. We talked about him so much, making that shift from cornerback to safety. And I think he's a guy, as you said, his presence was felt in this game. Dustin, that is it for quarter number three. We got one more quarter to go. Stick around for that. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is kicking off another week of action by giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.